Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today. We are currently trying to get a hold of Mary Sanders Smith. She lives in three places. Maybe that's the problem. She lives in Grosse Pointe, Michigan part of the year. Then she lives in New York City part of the year. And she also lives in northern Wisconsin part of the year. I think she spends her summers in northern Wisconsin. She's a lifelong learner. She started writing novels and short stories after the age of 50, and she's received many honors, including an award for fiction from Penn. And her latest novel is called Escape, and it's published this year by Merrick. She had an earlier novel, June. The title of that novel was June, and received some really sterling reviews for it. June was a portrait of a Midwestern farm wife who struggles in a kind of a hostile environment. And so that was her earlier book. This book, Escape, is people are describing it as an adventure, wilderness, survivor's suspense novel. And the action involves a prison escape. And it's a prison escape on a wilderness river in northern Wisconsin. And so it's the escape, and then it is the chase and the capture of the inmate by the prison superintendent. And it all happens during an Alberta Clipper snowstorm. And I have to tell you, I read the book. I read the book a couple of weeks ago and really enjoyed it. And it had a lot of surprises in it for me. And I bet if you read it, it'll have some surprises in it for you as well. And we have her on phone now, so I'm going to... Mary, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, it's great to have you with us today. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed your book.
Well, thank you for saying that.
You didn't get started writing, and this question has probably been asked of you a few times. You didn't start writing until after the age of 50.
That's right.
Well, what prompted you to say, okay, I guess it's time to start writing?
I guess I had always wanted to do it. And then when my family was grown and I had time, when I sat down, I really could not do it. So I rematriculated at Wayne State University and took their top-level writing class and just lucked out and got a wonderful instructor that taught me the craft of writing. And I think today... not always the writers get this wonderful instruction of craft. And, of course, I don't know who can give you the fire, you know, that's just there. So that's how it all got started.
Yeah, and June was your first novel, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right, takes me a long time to write. I'm not very popular probably with the big companies because I take me 8 years to write June. And 6 years to write Escape, and you probably read that in about a night.
I did. Well, I got to tell you, once I started, I started in the evening after we put our seven-year-old to bed, and I think my wife woke up at one point and said, "What are you doing? Still reading?" And I said, "Well, I've got to get to the end of this." And you weren't scheduled to be on for a time, but I couldn't put the book down. It was really exciting. It was an exciting read.
Well, it was. We have a cabin up in the North Woods, and up near Gordon, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Solon Springs, and
I know that area well.
Well, there's a prison there on the Eau Claire River, and I had always been fascinated by the fact that that area, which is still very wild and undeveloped, is like freedom to me. But the reason the prison is there is because those city inmates are very afraid of the wilderness. And I thought that was such a paradox.
Yeah. It is a paradox. So it's, you've got an adventure, wilderness, survival, suspense novel.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, but you know what it's really about, Larry? It's about a man who has to be invulnerable to do a good job. And it's just like the classic Greek drama. It sets him up for a fall.
Yeah, it really does. Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have a question for our guest today, Mary Sanders Smith. Her latest novel, published by Merrick, is titled Escape, and it's set right in northern Wisconsin, and which makes it a doubly fun read, but lots of surprises in this book and some interesting introspection, too, I might add. If you have a question about writing or about her books, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call, or you can shoot us an email as well. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. So you consider yourself to be kind of an outdoors woman, don't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I canoe those rivers all the time, and they're so wonderful because they remain as they have been for the past hundreds of years, from Gordon, Wisconsin, down to almost to the state line. It's all protected water, and it's just like it was for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, it's of course, canoes play a big role in your book.
Yeah, you have to canoe it. And it's not I go on that river a lot, and I'm often just the only one on it because there are some rather difficult rapids, and I guess people just don't want to tip over. But the canoeing companies, the rental companies, don't really put people on that river. So it's
because it is a little...
It's difficult it's difficult to travel. And also, in different periods of the summer, it can be so low that you might have to get out, you know, and pull yourself along.
Portage and so forth.
Well, you don't have to... Well, you could... Yeah, you could port... There's one area, the Coppermine Dam, that's in the book where I would always portage around that. And, of course, that's where you-know-who got in trouble.
Well, I set the stage for us, for our listeners, for those who haven't had a chance to read the book yet.
Okay. Well, first of all, the area is very interesting. It has a lot of Indian history in it, so it was nice to put in this Indian history in the book because the inmate is part Native American, and so is the superintendent's children. And so that makes that made it easy then to work in the Indian history. But it starts out with the superintendent being sentenced to prison, and then it's a flashback all the way up until the end of the book where he's being sentenced. So you have to read the book to find out why he's being sentenced.
Yeah, and it's something we don't dare talk about.
Now, it's really what I call a guy book, because guy books, men's books, whatever you want to call
yeah.
it. I think it's both, but especially with books for men, it deals with an external challenge, and oftentimes books for women or girls are more internal challenges.
Okay, can you describe, what do you mean by that, external and internal challenges?
Well, first of all, the escape is plot-driven, all right?
Yeah.
And the other book, June, that's more is character-driven and deals with more just with her internal challenges, whereas in this book, in Escape, they have to face actual physical challenges. And that makes it more of an adventure, don't you think?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
but don't you think women would like it, too?
Oh, yeah. I know my wife said, well, when you finish with your interview with Mary Sanders Smith, let me see that book.
Oh, because it kept you up all night.
Yeah, so when a book keeps me up all night, she always wants to read it, too. And I know she will enjoy it. I'm certain Renee will enjoy it. So, but I can see why it might lean more toward a guy book.
You know, the river is as much a character as any of the people. It's a very powerful, powerful thing.
Are you Are you still a pretty good, are you a good fly fisherman? You're writing.
No, I'm not a good fly fisherman. I can fly fish, and I have fly fished, obviously, or I couldn't have written that. But what I really am, I live on Whitefish Lake there near Gordon.
Yeah.
And I'm a bass fisherman.
Oh.
Yeah.
You bass fish?
Spinning rod.
Oh, with a spinning rod. I was going to say, you don't do that with a fly rod.
No, but we do some fly fishing, though, on the St. Croix River, too. The St. Croix is fed by streams, and it's a warmer river, whereas the Eau Claire is fed by springs. And tributaries come into the St. Croix drains all of northwestern Wisconsin and northeastern Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's a very important river.
Well, tell us a little more about the prisoner and the escaped prisoner and maybe a little more about the warden who's in hot pursuit or cold pursuit, I guess.
In cold pursuit, yeah. Well, I must say, first off, it is the superintendent's book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the inmate's book. And one way you tell whose book it is because who changes. That's really the indicator of who's the main character of the book, although I do get into the head of the inmate. Now, I did have to make quite a decision if I was going to use prison language.
Mm-hmm.
So I do put prison language jargon into the head of the inmate. I went to this prison and spent a lot of time in this prison there at Gordon, and they were wonderful to me. They let me interview many, many people and prisoners and everything. And one of the main things I had to learn was their jargon. And, of course, then I had to learn how an escape would take place. And it was quite an experience. At first, it was very intimidating. I had a lot of trouble convincing the prison authorities at first that it wasn't going to be an expose, that going to be a novel, and it was not going to be an expose of their prison. And at that time in the 90s, when I was doing that research, the Wisconsin state prison system was changing. It had been very strict, as you could tell from the superintendent in the book.
Yeah.
He is the old guard, and it was changing over to be more lax for the prisoners. And so that provided, a good story. Now, the inmate is a tragic soul. He is half part American, half Indian, Native American Indian, and he makes a lot of mistakes, and he's a loser. It's unfortunately he is, but there are losers.
But a good looking one.
A very good looking one. I asked there's a wonderful guard at the Gordon State Prison. It's a minimum security prison, by the way, named Greg Posine. And he was wonderful to me. And I asked him, what would you say is one characteristic that's particular to all of these prisoners? And he said, that's easy, I can tell you. He said, they do not understand action and consequences. They seem to be only able to live in the moment, and they do not understand that if they do this, then this is going to happen.
Oh.
And as far as being chagrined about anything they did or ashamed of anything that they did, they were more ashamed of being caught.
Well, that whole business of living in the moment, that certainly comes through in your prison character. Your prisoner character.
Yeah, prisoner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does. Mary Sanders Smith, our guest today from Grosse Pointe, Michigan, New York City, and northern Wisconsin.
My goodness.
She is the author of the book Escape. It's published this year by Merrick. Really great to have her with us. And you can join in with your questions or comments as we move along here today. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm sure Mary would be happy to talk with you about her writing and how she does it, and also about her book, Escape, or maybe even her book, June. Give us a call again, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking today about writing and about a new book called Escape. It's the title, published by Merrick. The author is Mary Sanders Smith. She started writing novels and short stories after the age of 50, and she's won many honors, including an award for fiction from Penn. And the latest novel is Escape. Join in with your questions again at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. And Mary, let's turn to the phones and take some calls. Nancy and Eau Claire up first. Nancy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you. Mary, I wish to know what age grouping primarily that you think your book, Escape, specifically is geared toward. The reason I'm asking this question is I teach a class of at-risk students, and we're gearing it toward the reading of mysteries, and trying to find mysteries that are of interest to them is, shall we say, challenging at best. So do you think that this would be geared to such an audience?
How old are they?
They go from 18 to 21, essentially.
Well, then I think
it's perfect.
So. Do you think, Larry?
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say 14, 12.
No, 18 to 21.
Well, you know, there is some foul language.
Not a lot, but there's some.
Uh-huh. But they'd probably love that, you know.
Would they?
That being said, also, is this available in paperback, and where may it be purchased?
Yes, it is available in paperback. You can get it at Amazon.com under Mary Sanders Smith Escape, or you can get it at MerrickPress.com. And there's another outlet there in Wisconsin called Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at HomebrewPress.com.
At Homebrew Press?
Yeah, that's homebrewpress.com. Now, the other, and also I have a website, which is www.marysanderssmith.com, and it lists these places also where you can get the book. But I'm going to be in Madison. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Eau Claire, but that is of no consequence, truly.
Yeah.
I travel.
Well, I'm going to be at the bookedformurder.com bookstore on Thursday, December 9th at 6 p.m., that's on University Avenue in Madison, and I'm going to be there reading and signing, and also I think there will be a couple of other places that will, if you look on my website, that will show up that I'm going to be there that week of December.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. I think Nancy, with the audience she has, I think there's lots of opportunity for discussion among her the readers.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Psychological turns of events.
Yeah, and just living in the and just what you were saying about prisoners and living in the moment and that sort of thing and what that means.
Yeah. That's true.
Not always a good thing.
You know, I think, Larry, I think everybody should write, and I just wonder if this would be a way to get her class to start writing.
It could well be. I'm pretty optimistic on that front. Well, let's turn to Dick in Oconomowoc next. Dick, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. Just an anecdote from the many hundreds of thousands of us who returned this past day or so from the North Woods. Our deer camp hunts up near the Michigan line. We're in the northeast part of the state, Florence County, but it's also a very, very different part of the world. It doesn't take even a long weekend to realize that one is traveling to a very different place than the Wisconsin where most of the 5.5 million of us live. So this is a call to thank your author for taking us to a wonderful, very different part of the world.
Well, aren't you nice? It is a different part of the world, and I love Wisconsin. The people are just, they're very special. They really are to me. I wouldn't miss a summer. I have been going there since, my husband and I have been going there since the early 40s.
Oh, boy. So a long, long time. Well, Dick, I agree with you. I think anybody, you know, I'm just back from a week, about 4 days in Bayfield County, and with a deer camp up there. And that area is just, it is really, it's another world from Madison. That's for sure.
It sure is. Thanks again.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Well, critics and reviewers have pointed to subplots in the telling of the story, your story, and you touched on at least one of them, but what are these subplots that they mostly are referring to? I think one is a Native American history.
Right, right. There was a Chief Kabamapa that lived in the area in the middle of the 1800s, and he was there just before the people on the East Coast discovered that we had, in this area, 400-year-old white pine trees.
Yeah.
And so they ultimately, within just a few years, came in and were able to rout out all the Indians, and that story is in there. And actually the camp site or the village that Chief Kabamapa lived in was right there, just west of Gordon. And there were 83 people in the village, and they had actually they had lived for thousands and thousands of years. And that intrigued me because if you look at the rest of the world in that period, they were doing things like writing and reading. These people weren't writing or reading. They hadn't figured out anything technologically. They didn't really understand disease. They had moved themselves about 6 weeks because they had to let all the parasites and diseases die out. And so they had to move about. And there was a scalping pole right there. They were still doing that in 1830.
Yeah.
Just was appalling to me it was intriguing to me why they had not advanced more. And, of course, that's the reason they were so easily won over and moved, because they were very superstitious people, and they began to revere. You know, one of the ways that the white people got them to really pay attention was they would burn brandy. You know, you can light brandy,
yeah,
and that's called fire water to them, and that was magical.
Valerie in Fond du Lac, let's turn to you now. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, I'm so pleased to be on. Thank you, and I'm so enjoying this. I have a little story about what Mary had said about the prisoner's attitude. My 7.5-year-old grandson in second grade was learning about cause and effect, and he said to his mom, my daughter Eva, he said, "Mom, I want to understand this cause and effect. They talked about it today at school, but I'm not sure if I get it." So he said, "Now, if I don't eat my dinner, then the effect is I'm going to be hungry. Is that right?" And she said, "Yes." And then he said, "Now, if I don't go to bed on time, the effect is going to be that I'm going to be tired the next day." And she said they played this game for the whole evening. And he said, "I think I've got it." And it was just exactly what she was saying, because my daughter is a psychiatric social worker working with homeless, chronically mentally ill and homeless. And she said, "Mom, if half my client load would have learned cause and effect by the age of 7 and a half, they wouldn't have made some of the choices that they made.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Well, this just hit me, and I want to call her. She's in Houston, and I want to share with her what you had said.
And then if you read the book, you'll find other ways that where they think differently.
I certainly am looking forward to it. In fact, I made a note. This will be a perfect Christmas gift for my husband, and then I'll read it when he's done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, have a great day.
Yes, you too, Valerie. Thanks very much for calling. That's a great story that she told, isn't
it? Yeah.
I wanted to mention, too, and Book for Murder is a kind of a favorite store for me that in Madison. I'm glad to know that you're going to be here on December 9th. But it just reminded me that any local bookstore, if you can go to any of your local bookstores and just ask for ordering a copy, if they don't have a copy, they can certainly order one. Isn't that right, Mary?
Yeah, that would be right. Mm-hmm. It, with the title of MerrickPress.com.
MerrickPress.com.
Or Casey at HomebrewPress.com. They both have ways to get books there.
All right. Well, Pete and Kakana, let's go to you now. Hi, Pete.
Hi. I'm actually up at my cabin in Clam Lake, deer hunting.
Oh, okay.
And I'm listening to the talk here, and it brings up a question I have. I'm 52 years old. I've got two boys in college, and I like to write myself. But I checked into going back to school, and I was wondering how you got started.
Thanks a lot for asking that. When I got started at the age of 50, I tried to write, and I could not do it. And so I went back to school, but I didn't go, like, to writing workshops and things like that, because you have to be very careful not to get your spirit broken.
Yeah, you
have to keep up your desire. So if you go back to a class, I actually matriculated in a top-level class at Wayne State University at 50. I was the only one over about 18. I was learning how books were written, especially how short stories were written. And they studied people like you should read the classics. You should read Tolstoy and Hemingway and some of these classics. And you will learn about construction.
Correct.
And you'll learn about point of view. But I encourage you to write. I really think everyone should write. And don't think you're writing it in stone. You write, and then it prioritizes your thinking. It's a wonderful thing to do.
I've done some writing on my own, and I've had people read it, and they've commented that, you know, I do a good job writing, but I need to get more background and, you know, education as far as, like you say, construction and learning how to put it together.
Yeah.
You know, I can leave my email with Larry, and you could email me, and we could talk about this.
That'd be great.
That would be great. And actually, your email is on your website, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's right. MerrickPress.com.
Mary Sanders.
Mary Sanders.
Yeah. And there's two S's there.
Yeah, so it's MarySandersSmith.com.
Right, right. I love to talk to people about writing. And I can even recommend, I don't have the title right in front of me. I didn't think to do that. I can recommend a good book for you to read. I think it's Structuring Your Novel. And the author, one of the author's last name is Meredith. It's a wonderful book to read called Structuring Your Novel. But that's the same structure as for a short story.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Thanks,
Pete.
All
right, Pete. I appreciate it, and I look forward to contacting you. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much. One of the younger guys who was at our camp, the son of a good friend of mine, is really getting into writing, and he's written he's about 24 or 5. He's written one novel. It's sort of a rough draft, and he's got an idea for another one. So he started, Luke started right in on it. And he has the kind of job now where he's you work hard, and then there's you have to wait a while and before the next flurry of activity comes.
Oh.
And he carries, he's got a notebook, and he carries that notebook with him, and he writes while he's, you know, he's got that little downtime for 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Well, you know, the other thing, when you start writing, it really changed my life, and it changed me. You become less judgmental. I'm not sure my husband would agree with that. I think I've become less judgmental. And
why would that be?
Because you become an observer.
Okay.
You become a very careful observer, and the more you observe, the less you judge.
Okay. I've got you.
At least that's my armchair philosophy. And the other thing about writing, too, that if that man is still listening, you must, and for your Luke, the process is the reward. Everybody
yeah.
must remember that. It's the process. And when you finish, it's fine, but it's the process that's the reward.
Maria in Waukesha, we'll go to you now. Hi, Maria.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Would it be easy, and for me, English is my second language, but I write well. I'm highly educated. I think faster than I write. Would it be easier for me to dictate to a recording machine and then write it later, or what do you suggest?
Oh. Yes, I think that any way is fine. It would be very similar. It'd be great to dictate it. And the other thing, you know, actually, as a person this is your second country, you have a lot to offer. And people, the publishers love that kind of material. So I would really encourage you to do that. And if you're intimidated writing it down, then dictate it, yes.
Would it be possible if you would like to write a biography and change it into a novel or start as a novel? Because biography will be very rich and very long. And I don't know if the audience the readers will...
Well, I think you what you mean, maybe not biography, I think you mean memoir.
Yes.
Memoir, and that's a wonderful way to start. And it would be maybe a good idea for you to go into a class somewhere. Where do you live?
Waukesha.
Well, that's a thriving community, and you can find a class on memoir writing. I bet you could find it in your continuing education at one of your colleges, or maybe even in your high school system, at a night class.
Sure.
Yeah, I would suggest that, and go to memoir, and you would find it very rich and rewarding.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Maria. Richard in Barnes. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Larry and Mary. Story you're telling about the camp. I had an old friend that lived up in Barnes here that had spent some time there, and I used to sit and listen to him for hours tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
One time during moonshine days, him and his partner were going to rob another man's still. They had a still also, but his partner had loaded the revolver, and Harvey told me, he says, you know, some revolvers, he'd put three live rounds and three blanks. He said some of those revolvers, they go clockwise, and some go counterclockwise.
Oh, dear.
He was going to intimidate the guy, and he ended up shooting him.
Oh!
The live rounds came up first.
Oh, my.
Anyway,
there's a story. There's a story to write.
There is definitely a story to write.
One of the anecdotes that I remember well was they snuck out of there one night, and Gordon, they were going to go over to the halfway house and steal some liquor and stuff, and he said they got in there, and there was a bunch of Girl Scouts camped in there. He said, you never heard so much screaming and hollering in your life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're right there in my neck of the woods, aren't you?
Well, Barnes, Wisconsin. Actually, we have a cabin in Barnes, Wisconsin. So,
you do, Larry?
Yeah, Barnes, Wisconsin. You bet.
I know where Barnes is. I go there a lot.
Yeah, just on...
I go there to eat.
Pease Road. So... Yeah. We're right there.
For heaven's sake. You know where Whitefish Lake is then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
does our caller.
We're neighbors.
We're neighbors. Does the caller know where?
Mailman. I'm the mailman up here, one of them.
Oh, really? Oh, you know where everything is.
But another story this fellow told, he said he was dating a girl in Spooner. He was hot wiring one of the turnkey's cars, he said. He had a ton of stories. He's gone now, but he's been gone for years.
But you should write some of those down or put them on tape, because that's wonderful.
Oh yeah, that's great. I mean, and that's the kind of, those kinds of stories can work their way into a novel that anybody might write.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, thanks. Thanks so much. Is there a lot of snow on the ground there?
4 or 5 inches, probably.
4 or 5 inches. Okay, well,
great.
Still got a lot of friends up there hunting right now, so it's good to know there's a little snow up there. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Michelle in Oshkosh, give you a chance now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I am curious, Mary, how long did you carry the creative seed of the story inside of your womb? And what was this thing that broke the waters, so to speak, to express that story unto our readers?
Oh.
That's really an interesting question. Very few people ask that either. I think you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and it begins in little increments. And as you think about it, you get a piece of paper, you know, you're somewhere, probably sitting in a bus or something, and you write down this thought, and you begin to write down these thoughts, and it begins to then work itself into what could be a story. And you have a file, and you put your little pieces of paper in the file, and they build up, and this is not something, of course, that happens overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it took me about 6 years to write that. But unfortunately, you know, I don't have to write for a living, so I can take my time and really thoroughly enjoy it and not force myself to write every day. I write when I want to write.
Oh, so you're not one of these people that writes
No. A
half hour every day or whatever?
No, I'm not a disciplined writer. But once you get going, you know, too, sometimes you can't stop. And I think the interesting part, too, is you start to write this out, and you must remember that you're really not writing it to be read by anybody. You're not. I mean, you're doing something to satisfy your creative process. Let's put it that way. And so you just do it little bits at a time. But sometimes you'll sit down and write, and oh my gosh, Larry, you know this. 2 hours have gone by, and you've
got
10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I know it very well. I know that feeling very well. Mary, I tell you what, it has been indeed a great pleasure. Now, it's not going to be 6 more years before your next novel, is it?
You know, I am working on one now. Yeah, it's set in Rockford, Illinois, about the Depression. And I just hope I can live long enough to finish it.
Well, I hope so, too. It's been a real delight talking with you today, Mary. And I hope the book sells well.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And again, your website is marysandersmith.com, and that's a good place to go to learn more about both books, as a matter of fact.
But actually, there's a third one.
There's a third one in there. All right. Well, I didn't even know about the third one.
Collection of short fiction.
Ah, there we go. Well, again, a great pleasure, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Mary Sanders Smith. Her book, I really enjoyed it. It's called Escape, and it's published this year by Merrick. And her earlier novel was called June, and that got great reviews as well. So great to have her with us, and take a look at it. I think you're going to enjoy what she has to say about writing. It's and as I mentioned, it's described as an adventure, wilderness, survival, suspense novel. And there are some big surprises in that novel. I can tell you that right now. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see some of them coming. And the one in particular was a huge surprise near the end. Mary Sanders Smith, the book Escape. Well, any antiques in your home? We're going to be talking about antiques. We'll talk about appraisals, and we'll talk about auctions with one of our regular guests, Shirley Bauman, auctioneer and certified appraiser from Madison. Our guest next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.